Encourage you to have your Bible out and follow along. We're going to look at a few New Testament passages. We'll make reference to some Old Testament passages as well. I want to return to our 9:30 series on the subject of doctrine that makes us different. I want to address a subject this morning that I didn't originally plan to include in this series. This wasn't something that I thought would measure up to some of the other things that we'll be discussing, but it's a question that Christy and I were asked by a member a few weeks ago, and I got to thinking about it, thought, you know, it'd fit right here in this theme of doctrine that makes us different from religious people around about us. I want to talk about tithing this morning. Every church that I know of raises funds in some way. Now, a lot of them, they will use all different kinds of methods, all different kinds of fundraisers. I went on a line yesterday and just typed in fundraising ideas for churches. Came up with one website that had 65 just right off the bat. And so I would say this, if you can think of it, I wouldn't say I bet, because we took care of that a couple weeks ago in a sermon, but I would say, I would imagine there's a church that's already tried it. And if not, they're probably planning on it. They're working on it. Some use these scriptural or unscriptural methods in addition to taking up a collection or numerous collections from the members every time that they assemble. I remember when I was in denominationalism, it was not uncommon for the collection plate to be passed two times. I remember a few times it was passed three different times in one service. Many people that you and I come into contact with, when we talk about giving, they refer to that as tithing. And we're going to see that tithing is a very specific kind of giving. That is, it's a specific amount, but the way it's used by many people in denominations around about us, that's just the word that they use for giving. I did find this poll, the results of a poll. This is just from a couple of years ago, 2023. There was a poll. They learned that more than three in four American Protestant churchgoers, and then they gave the figure, 77%. So 77% of Protestants say tithing is a biblical command that still applies today. So that would be a doctrine that makes us different, wouldn't it? If they're saying tithing is a biblical command that applies to us today, that is bound on us today, we'll cover that in just a moment. I've also heard the phrase tithes and offerings. I don't know if you've heard that or not, but they'll use that phrase, tithes and offerings. And what is meant by that is the tithe is 10%. A tithe is when you give 10% of everything that you have or you receive. Let's make it clear. 10% of everything that you receive financially is a tithe. Anything that you would give above that is separate. It's called an offering. So to them, you have tithes and you have offerings. What is tithing? And why don't we practice tithing in the Lord's church today? So let's talk about that for a few moments this morning. Tithing is a practice. We mentioned it already. Tithing is the practice of giving a tenth of one's income or property as an offering to God. This custom dates back to ancient times, and it was practiced by many different nations, not just the Hebrews. According among the Israelites, the practice actually predates the law of Moses. In Genesis 14, verses 17 through 20, Abraham gave Melchizedek, the priest of God, a tithe of all the goods that he had obtained in the battle when he went to free Lot and the king of Sodom from the five kings. The law of Moses commanded tithes from the Israelites. Leviticus 27, verses 30 through 32, commanded the Israelites to tithe seeds and fruits and even livestock. Numbers chapter 18, verses 21 through 23, commanded that these tithes were to be given to the Levites. If you remember when the land was divided and allotted to the different tribes, remember the tribe of Levi didn't get any land. The Lord was their inheritance. And here's how that worked. The Lord commanded the Israelites to bring a tithe to the tabernacle. That would be given to the Levites. And the Levites had to give a tenth of that as a heave offering unto the Lord. And there were other things that I'm sure would have bypassed the Levites and gone straight to being offered unto the Lord. But the tithes that were brought and the offerings that were brought by the nation of Israel came to support the Levites so that the Levites would give their full time and attention to the tabernacle, later to the temple. When you go to the book of Malachi, you find a condemnation from God through the prophet telling the people that they need to bring their tithes in because the temple is left without anyone to care for it because the Levites had to go and work. And so they broke down the whole Levitical system. And so God is sending the message to Israel as a whole, bring in the tithes, so that the Levites can be supported, then they can come back and worship can resume at my temple. So the tithes played a very important role in that under the Levitical system there in the Old Testament. When we come to the New Testament, tithing is mentioned 8 times in the New Testament, but every time it has reference to an Old Testament practice. There is no command from the Lord or from His apostles for followers of Christ to tithe today. We know that the law of Moses, of which Leviticus and Numbers were a part, that it was done away with at the cross there in Colossians chapter 2 and at verse 14. So the idea that tithing is a biblical a command that still applies to us today, Colossians 2 verse 14 takes care of that, as it does many of the other things that we've been looking at and studying that make us different from those around about us. How about Christians today? Well, although we don't use the word tithe or tithing, I know a lot of brethren who like that 10% figure. And that is a good figure. I would say this, that is a good place and that is a good principle, and that is a good place for us to start at that 10% figure. So I'm not going to throw 10% out. That's a biblical figure that is given to us. But as we continue our study, we're going to see that that really is just a place for us to start. As we look at, and we talk about tithing, I do want to talk about our giving as the Lord's church. And I want to talk about that, us doing that individually. I want to talk about how the church collectively makes use of that. The churches of men, as I said, the churches of men around about us use various kinds of fundraisers. They'll have bake sales and car washes and bingo nights, and they'll sell cookbooks, and they'll sell pancake dinners. They'll sell engraved bricks. That was an interesting fundraising idea, that for a building project, well, you have a family buy a brick with their name on it. That can go into the building. But of course, they've paid to have their name put there. Schools do the same thing. But now churches can do that. I got these pictures off the internet. These are Dayton area churches. And these are some fundraisers that they have done either this year or over the past couple of years. The one in the upper left-hand corner, the big one with the Corvette there, that is the City Church from Fairborn. That's a fundraiser that they're doing. They're having a car show. I actually heard about this on the radio just yesterday and noticed that there is a $20 entry fee. They're going to give away trophies. There's no cash prizes. The entry fee goes to the church. So if you're into Corvettes, if you're into to entering and showing off your car, don't do this. Don't do this. This is a fundraiser for a church. This is their idea for raising funds. You've got the waffle shop. Forget the pancake breakfast. How about waffles? Well, the First Episcopal Church, 20th West 1st Street in Dayton, Ohio, they're hoping to tap into the waffle market instead of the pancake breakfast. And I could blow up the picture here. We'll see if any of you went to it or not. But this is one of their fundraisers. You've got the bingo night up here. You've got a back to school annual youth dinner and fashion show that they're doing here. And I can't read. It's an apostolic church there. Now the car wash in the middle. I did want to point this out. I know it's blurry. But this is a car wash. They'll wash your car for $10, your truck for $15. It's too late. That was on August 30th when that happened. All proceeds support the Church of God in Christ, the Gethsemane Church of God in Christ Building Fund. So this is how they're going to get their funds for their building fund. They're going to have a car wash. So there's all kinds of ideas. These are just some, like I said, in the Dayton area. These are going on around about us. When we turn our attention to the New Testament, we see that these ideas belong in the trash. This is not how God has told His church to raise funds. We know the local church is limited to the boundaries that are established by the doctrine of Christ. 2 John verse 9. We've looked at that in recent studies. Those are barriers. Those are boundaries for us. We have to stay within those boundaries. When we look at the doctrine of Christ, what do we see regarding the way a church raises its funds? Well, number one, we have the example. We have the example of members giving free will offerings and laying them at the feet of the apostles. Let's look at Acts chapter 4. If that sounds familiar to our young people, that's the chapter they're going to be studying in their Bible class in the next hour. Acts chapter 4, we're going to start at verse 34 and we're going to read into chapter 5. We're going to ignore the chapter division here and go into chapter 5. But chapter 4, verse 34, nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. Then verses 36 and 37, Barnabas is introduced to us as one who did this very thing, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You've not lied to men, but to God. The practice we have here is that the members made free will offerings. They sold their possessions, they sold land, they took that money, and they freely gave it to the church, laid it at the apostles' feet. And the reason we read down into chapter 5 is Peter makes that clear. That money was yours to do with what you wanted. And we know that Ananias is not condemned because he didn't give it all. He's condemned because he wants people to think he gave it all while he kept back some of it in his pocket. He wants credit for giving everything, for making a full sacrifice. He's being hypocritical, and we studied about that just this past Wednesday night in our Bible class out here on Wednesday night. But notice the example. What we have, free will offerings from the members. The members freely gave, and it was collected together. We also have the command. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints As I have given orders to the church of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come." So Paul commanded churches to receive freewill offerings from members every first day of the week. I have no doubt that there were other fundraising opportunities available to the first century church. Now, not to the extent that we have today. I doubt they had a chariot show. Maybe they could have. But they could have raised funds in different ways. The Bible is silent about that. The Bible tells us what they did. And remember, the silence of Scripture is prohibitive. So just like with singing, as long as we are singing, we know we're doing what the Bible tells us to do. The same thing with our fundraising. As long as we are receiving freewill offerings from the members on the first day of the week, we know we're doing what the Bible tells us to do. When we do something else, we've stepped outside of Scripture for that. We raise the funds that we need by receiving freewill offerings from members every first day of the week. And in this, the wisdom of God is seen in that it is incorporated into our worship as an act of worship. When we finish the Lord's Supper and the men remain up here and they say, "This is a convenient time for us to obey another command," and we take up the collection, we're not taking a pause so that we can pay some bills. We are continuing our worship. We are engaging in another act of worship. And that is an act of worship in which we are called upon to make a sacrifice to the Lord. And sacrifice has always been a part of worship of God. So when we give, we are making that sacrifice unto the Lord. With the time that we have left, let's talk about some biblical principles that guide us in our giving. Not 10%, and you've got to get the calculator out and you need to figure out 10%. No, let's look, though, at the principles in the New Testament that govern and guide us in our giving as individual Christians. First, we'll stay here in the text where we are. We are to give as we prosper. What does it mean to prosper? That means that we have gained something. We've received something. The NIV translation, interestingly enough, says that we are to give in keeping with his income. So, and that is one of the ways that we would prosper in the income that we have earned. If we haven't received any income, then we haven't prospered in that way. The contribution that we are to give is not a bill that has to be paid. If we haven't prospered, we have nothing to give. Now, God looks with honor and favor upon those who will give out of their necessities. In Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4, there is the widow who put in more than all the other rich men put in there in the temple, that she gave the 2 mites she gave of her livelihood. She hadn't prospered any, and she still gave. Now, God honors that. God sees that. God honors that. But if we've not prospered, then God is not expecting an amount to go into the plate. So we are to give as we prosper, and that's something that's important for members to understand. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians. I find it interesting in the New Testament, as we're looking at giving, we're going to find most of our instruction regarding the principles around our giving from the Corinthian correspondence. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, let's look at verses 6 and 7. "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." Verse 6 tells us that we are to give bountifully. The Christian Standard Version says generously. Another word that could be used there is liberally. Give liberally. And here's one area in which it's important for Christians to be liberal. And that is in our giving unto God. Instead of looking at how much we have to give, we need to look at how much we can give. Instead of how little we can give, we need to give bountifully. We need to give generously. Whenever we go out to eat, at the end of the meal, we will pay, if we're eating somewhere where you pay from the table, I'll spend some time looking at the ticket, and they've got a suggested tip down there at the bottom. A lot of them do. That's some shady math going on down there. But I'll look at that, and I'll think, all right, what kind of service did I give? And I'll think in my mind, I'll run through, okay, what's the least amount that I can give without this server thinking I'm a jerk? Right? So in that situation, what's the least amount? That should never be our thought process when it comes to giving on the first day of the week. What's the least amount that I can give and God will be okay with it? We need to give bountifully. We need to open our hearts, and then we will open our checkbooks. Then we will open our wallet. If our heart is there, then everything else will follow. So we need to give bountifully, not begrudgingly. We are to give as we purpose in our hearts. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and at verse 7 says, the Christian Standard Version says, we are to give as He has decided in His heart. The English Standard Version, many of you use, says, as He has made up His mind. I want to tell you, biblical giving is planned giving. Biblical giving is planned giving, not reactionary giving. Not, oh no, here comes the plate. I need to get that check written out. Or, what do I have in my pocket? No. Biblical giving is planned giving. Really, it needs to be a part of our budget. I know a lot of people make a budget. And they have their income and they have their expenses and they want to make sure everything is covered. You need to put giving to the Lord in that budget. And if you really want to be scriptural about it, it needs to come first. Because going back to the Old Testament, God got what was first. He got the first fruits. He didn't get what was left over. He got what was first. And so plan for your giving and put it first. Put it first. We need to sit down. We need to prayerfully reflect on how God has prospered us and how God has blessed us that past week. We need to choose the amount that is appropriate to present to God. Don't come to me or one of the other elders and say how much you think I ought to give. That's between you and God. You work that out between you and God. It's not our business. That's your business. You need to sit down, you need to seriously think about what amount is appropriate to give unto God. And remember, like everything else we do in worship, God wants our giving to be an expression of the heart, not a cold, hard figure or routine. So let's give as we purpose in our heart, and let's give from the heart, and we need to give cheerfully, as 2 Corinthians 9 and at verse 7 says. Our giving is not to be done grudgingly or under compulsion. Well, I have to give. You know, I'd like to keep that money, but the Lord says I have to give it, and I guess I'll give it to Him. But I really wish I'd kept it. Just keep it. Just keep it until your heart is ready to give cheerfully. Then God will receive it, because God loves a cheerful giver. That was a principle that was laid down in the instructions in the law of Moses. In Deuteronomy chapter 15, God gave instructions regarding being charitable to the poor. And He says, whenever you give, your heart should not be grieved when you give. So even there, under that old covenant law that is stiff, and routine and without any thought or any love whatsoever. We know that's not true. Even there, God knew of the danger of covetousness, and he said, do not let your heart grieve when you give to the poor. Genuine, unremorseful, willingful giving is an expression of our heart unto God. And that kind of giving will be a blessing both to the giver and to the receiver. We don't give because we have to. We give because we get to. Because God has given us something that we can give. And because God is glorified in that. We should be giving cheerfully because we know that's going to please God. God loves a cheerful giver. You want to make God happy? You want God to be pleased with your life? Then give cheerfully. We need to give cheerfully because we know we're obeying the Lord's command. 1 John 5 and at verse 3, that this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. We need to give cheerfully because we know that we are helping the cause of Christ. That is something this congregation has always put an emphasis upon. Just this past month, in the month of August, 58% of the funds that were collected went to evangelism. That was a total of $8,847. You played a role in that. That should cause you to rejoice. You are playing a role in helping to spread the gospel, not just here, but in other places as well. A good amount of that money went to India to help with the preaching of the gospel in India. So we rejoice, we're cheerful knowing that we're helping the cause of Christ, and we're cheerful knowing that we're having fellowship with each other in this important work. Notice it's not just our offering that is there, just mine individually. It's all of us collectively. And so what we collect is a representation of all of us working together. And we can give cheerfully knowing that we are working together with other faithful brethren in doing the best that we can. Who gave what amount? That doesn't matter. Each of us came with a giving heart, and that's what God sees. And that's what God honors. So we have some principles here for our giving. We need to be reminded of these from time to time. Our giving is important. We don't call it tithing because tithing is a very specific kind of giving. It's not an appropriate term to use for our giving in the Lord's church today. So that is one thing that's going to make us different from the people around about us. But let's use this also as an opportunity for us to consider the importance of our giving. Why we give, what we give, and how we give are all equally important. We give as we prosper. We give as we purpose in our hearts. And we give bountifully and cheerfully as an expression of our gratitude to God who freely gives us everything that we need. Where would we be without the generosity of our God? Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we are thankful that you are a God who gives, and we receive so richly from your hand. We're thankful for the spiritual blessings and provisions that we have through your Son, and we're thankful for the physical and financial provisions that you give to each and every one of us. Help us to be wise stewards of these things. Help us to be generous in sharing them with others and returning a portion unto you in our worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.